Hello, warriors. Welcome to A Spiritual Warrior, a podcast that helps faith-based individuals mature spiritually through the Word of God, prayer, and application. I'm your host, Shatoya Antoine, and I pray that this episode blesses you. So let's get started. Good morning. Happy New Year. I think this is my first time telling you all Happy New Year. Thank you so much for tuning in for our time of devotion and prayer as we have embarked and started on a new year, and just excited to see the things that God will have us to pray for and even the things that He wants to show and reveal to us during our time of prayer and fasting. So today our focus is, did God write or did you write God's vision for 2021? Or did you write your own vision? So we are going to be focusing on Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. But this devotion and prayer is going to be a little bit different. I want to share some things with you first that God has given me to share with you. And then we are going to revisit the verses towards the end of our time of devotion. So one, just excited to be here for a new year and just thanking God that He has led us to a new year. We thank Him for just keeping us and sustaining us and even watching over us. We thank God for protecting us and just being our shield and our guide as well. And we just thank Him that He is our mighty and powerful Father. And just even thanking Him that He has great and mighty plans for us. And the fact that we are still here on this earth means that He still has a purpose and a plan for our lives. So many people were so anxious for 2020 to be over, and here we are, 2021 is here. So what typically happens at the beginning of a new year? I want to share 7 things that God has shared with me to give you on today. So one, I think one of the most popular things that people began to start doing is they began to start making vision boards. And many of you probably have already started to do that. You've probably already finished it. And some of you may even be in the process of doing it. Some people have began to declare what they will be manifesting for the new year. There are also people who are shaming, whether it be intentional or unintentional, those who may have waited toward the new year to start writing their goals and their plans and their visions, opposed to being prepared and doing that before the new year comes. There are also people that are shaming, and again, whether it be intentional or not intentional, people who may not have their first quarter goals planned out, and they are shaming you for being late and being behind and things of that nature. There are also people who have been quoting Habakkuk 2:2, write the vision and make it plain, but not truly understanding the context of this verse or this passage or even the book of the Bible for that matter. And we'll get into that towards the end. There are also some who have not even bothered writing any goals. They have not even bothered writing any plans or even seeking God for the vision that He has for your life this year. And that even may be some of you all as well. And lastly, many of you start New Year's resolutions, may desire to form new habits, and before this month is over, or even in the past, before January can even be over, you have not made any progress in the things that you have set out to do, and that is due to lack of commitment, that is due to lack of discipline, and that is due to a lack of resilience as well. And the truth is, with these 7 things, is actually a huge problem with all of these. So my main question is, or God's main question is, where was He in all of this planning, all of this speaking and declaring, and even shaming other people for what they may have or have not done so far? And I want to break these 7 things down. So what is the problem with vision boards? So I used to make vision boards, used to make a vision board every day, every year, and would sit and flip through magazines and cutting out pictures of cars, of things that I wanted, a husband, Forbes list, and things like that. even things that may look nice or that I think will look cool on a vision board. Then I began to be more intentional, just looking at areas that I wanted to improve on during the year, whether it be decluttering or whatever. Also beginning to start cutting out Bible verses to put on the vision board as well. Then I began writing goals on a piece of paper and then finding pictures that would symbolize the things that I was seeking to accomplish for the year to help serve as a reminder on what I needed to be focusing on each quarter. And a few years ago, God led me away from doing vision boards and just showed me how we can begin to idolize things that we shouldn't. We can begin to idolize things that we want and not so much focusing on the things that God wants for us. And he began to show me the importance of going to him and seeking his face on what he wanted me to accomplish and what he wanted me to focus on for the year. The Bible states that we are to seek God first, his kingdom and righteousness, then all things will be added unto us. So more so focusing on things that honor God, things that drew me closer to God, being open for God to use me for his kingdom work as well, and even asking God to help me journey through whatever my passions are, whatever my purpose is, things that I have going on in my business as well, helping me to be more of a giver, helping me to be able to grow more in his word. One thing that God has been having me do is studying prophets, growing in prayer, and just allowing him also to show me areas of weaknesses, areas of distractions and lack of consistency in any area that I may need improvement on. And I want you guys to kind of allow that to sit with you for a second. So I got to a point where it's like, what good is it for me to make plans if God isn't included in them, right? So many goals and plans won't be fulfilled because God is not in them. And sometimes they will be fulfilled, but it is by your own power, by your own might, by your own works. And it's nothing that God is going to get the glory out of or get the glory in as well. So what good is it for you to have a successful year and have done nothing for the Lord or have done nothing that God has wanted you to do for that year? So instead of creating a vision board, I began to start creating what I call a vision list. So a vision list is pretty much things that God wants me to focus on for the year. It's the vision that he has for me for the year, and it's things that he has personally spoken to me. So I encourage you to, instead of just randomly flipping through magazines and cutting out random things and placing them on a board and trying to manifest the life that you want, and we're going to get into that as well, but just truly seeking God, having some time of prayer with him, having some time to be able to be still and to get in his presence and to figure out what is it that he desires for you to be able to experience for this year. And the last thing is, you don't want to be outside of the will of God. So it may be your plan to buy a house this year or to get a new apartment this year, and you're doing everything in your power to make that happen. Maybe you desire a husband, maybe you desire a wife, and you're trying to fit this man or this woman into your life when it may not even be who God has for you. They may just be in your life for a specific reason or a specific purpose, but you have made marriage an idol where you are trying to make this thing work. And also the fact that knowing that God may still be preparing you for something that you may not receive what you want right now, because maybe God is trying to teach you something. Maybe there are some lessons that he wants you to learn before he really gives you what you think you want or even what he does desire for you to have. So sometimes what he shows you, it may not always happen right away. It may not exactly be what he has for you right now. And just also showing you the importance of being led by the Spirit and seeking God in all things. And as you seek God and spend time in his word, your plans begin to become aligned with his plans. The things that you think and the things that you want, they begin to be aligned with the things that God wants and desires for you. And sometimes it may even surprise you. There are some things that it's like, I really want this. I'm really praying for this. But it's something that as I have been in God's presence, as I have been reading his word and seeking him in prayer, he'll start to place those things on your heart that he wants you to achieve. So as you seek and pray, be attentive to the words that God places on your heart. Be attentive to the things that he places in your sight as well. So they may be words, they may be verses, they may be phrases. God speaks to us all in different ways, but those are just a few examples. And I want you all not to discount those things, not to think, oh, it's a coincidence that I keep seeing the word reflection, or it's a coincidence that I keep seeing the word resilience, or it's a coincidence that I keep seeing persevere. Like, document those things and take them to God to figure out, is this something that I need to be working on? Is this something that I need to be seeking you in? Is this something specifically that you're trying to show me for this season, or even a season that is to come? So as he gives you words, ask him to also lead you to scripture and promises for you to stand on as he shows and reveals things to you. And that way throughout the year, you can stand on those words, you can stand on his promises and be confident in knowing that you're working towards things that God wants you to be working on. And the fact that God spoke it, he's going to guide you to it, and he's also going to guide you through it. And when times get difficult or you have seasons of difficulty, you can go back and rely on God's word. You can go back and declare the word of God and not be confused and not worry and not doubt, because you know that you are truly being led by the Holy Spirit. So your vision list may be a few words. It may be one or many verses. It just depends on how God chooses you to lay it out. And it's no necessarily right or wrong way to be able to do that. But the point is to make the plan and the vision that God has given you, to make it plain, to put it on paper for you to be able to see it. So I am a visual person. I'm a out of sight, out of mind. If I can't see it, I may forget about it. So what I do is, to serve as an everyday reminder, I create a graphic, and I have it on my phone, and I'll go through that in a second. But before I go through the vision list, I just want to give you guys some examples as well of many of you have seen or heard that I do words of the year each year. And it's not always a word that I specifically have chosen, but one that God has given to me. And it started back in 2015 with consistency. And then it was faith and intentional, and then being bold, and then 2019 was discipline. And last year, God kind of switched it up a little bit and gave me two words. So that's why I say don't discount if you're seeing, you know, multiple things. So my focus for last year was grace and reflection. And my two words, God has given me two words again for this year, and it is boldness and boundaries. So seek the Lord on what the theme is going to be for your year, and not exactly what you want. You may want abundance. You may want money. You may want to have a six-figure year in your business. And I'm not saying that it's impossible. I'm not saying that God doesn't want you to have more. I'm not saying that God doesn't want you to have money. But what God doesn't want you to do is to make abundance and more your idol, where you are seeking after it more than you are seeking after God. And he also wants to see if you have been faithful with the little things that he's given you before he'll start pouring out more things that he wants for you. And also thinking, when God does give you these things that you want, whether it's money or what have you, how are you going to use that for the kingdom of God? How are you going to use that for his kingdom to advance? Are you just going to keep it to yourself, or are you going to be more of a giver? Are you going to help the poor and things of that nature? So really make sure that you have not made money your God. We know that the Bible tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. It does not say money is the root of all evil, but your love for it is the root of all evil. And knowing that you can't serve God and man. So don't let money take the place of God. And don't thirst more for money and materialistic things more than you do for God's will. And making sure that we are not trusting in money more than we are trusting in God, and truly, really, really abiding in his word and abiding in him so that our will is aligned with what he has for us, and that our goals are aligned with His as well. And many times that may look a lot differently than what you think. Many times it may stretch you. It may be an area that you may not be strong in. So please keep those things in mind for the vision that God has for you for this year. And I'll give you guys an example. So last year, as I mentioned, my words were grace and reflection. So God gave me those two verses. Not only am I an out of sight, out of mind person, I also need things broken down to its simplest form. So, okay, God, you want me to focus on grace. What does that mean exactly? So God gave me a subpoint to rest in His grace, that I am reminded with whatever I may face throughout the year that I am to rest in His grace. And God gave me some Bible verses on grace for me to be able to rest on whenever I would experience seasons where I was trying to do things on my own and not rest in His grace and His presence. So knowing that God's grace is sufficient, knowing that He will make all grace abound to me, that He will bless me with everything that I need and will abound in every good work. My second word was reflection. So God, what do you want me to do with reflection? Reflect daily, making sure that I'm reading and not just reading the word, but studying it, learning it, and being able to memorize as well. God gave me scripture on reflection as well. A theme that God gave me was trailblazer. And I'm like, okay, a trailblazer. So how is that going to help me throughout the year? What do I need to be focusing on? One, allowing God to use me in whatever way that He chooses to, but more so focus on the fact for me not to fear, but for me to be fearless, for me to trust God, for me to be led by Him, and even praying and asking Him to enlarge my territory as well. And again, Him giving me verses on that. So if you kind of see as God speaks to you, make sure that it is not only aligned with His word, but that you're also writing down whatever verses that He leads you to as well. So He may speak to you with words. He also speaks in phrases as well. So two phrases that God gave me for last year was speak God's word over the vision that He has given me. And I'm like, okay, how am I going to do that? And in what areas am I going to do that? So God said, be bold, be still, and be disciplined. What am I to be bold in, God? Be bold in prayer, be bold in teaching, be bold in sharing. God, you want me to be still. What's going to happen during this be still time? God's like, I need you to pray. I need you to hear from me. I need you to have moments of worship where you are adoring me for who I am, what I am able to do, and even the things that I have done already. God wanted me to be disciplined. God, what areas do I need to be disciplined in my life? I need you to spend more time with me. I need you to be aware of what's happening around you, not just for you personally, but even within the world as well. Allowing me to be able to, or helping me to be able to wake up early in the morning so that I'm able to get things done, that I'm able to have quiet time with Him before, I don't wanna say like the world opened up, but 7, 8 o'clock, more people are up, reaching out to you and things like that, just to be away from distractions, making sure that I am being held accountable and even scheduling things. We all have busy schedules, but it's really, really important that we actually have a schedule as well. The second phrase that God gave me was do what God said, act, move, and obey. And I'm like, okay, God gonna tell me to do something and I need to do it. I need to be radically obedient, but in what areas? He gave me abide, warfare, and harvest. And granted, yours does not have to be this detailed. I'm just sharing what God has given to me to give you guys an example. So one of the points was abide. Abide in what? Prayer and worship, adoration, and even going to Him in repentance on a daily basis. Warfare. Many of you don't know, but 2020 was a year of warfare for me. So what am I to do with that? Going to God in prayer, going to God in repentance as well. And even through the warfare, God delivering me from things or showing me things that I need to be working on or doing or not doing, or even things that the enemy may have placed in my life or placed on my heart or placed on my path that I may have began to dwell in that I need to pull back from. Harvest. One, being thankful that I'm planting seeds, but as I'm planting these seeds, what's going to come about? As I'm being obedient, what is going to come about? One, making sure that I am preaching and teaching and prophesying and focusing on those things that God wants me to share, operating in my spiritual gifts, leading other individuals to Christ as well, and just focusing on being a better leader. So for some, you may have the same goals and vision as last year. I think sometimes we get to a point where we're creating different goals every year, or we're creating different visions for our life every year. But it's like, okay, what about the things that you didn't accomplish last year? What about the things that you didn't accomplish a few years before? Those things need to be carried forward as well. So that's the whole vision board piece, making sure that we are truly seeking God on the vision that He has for us. So the second part that I mentioned in the seven things that I listed in the beginning is that people are manifesting things that they want. And the question is, are you manifesting what you want, or are you seeking to manifest the promises of God? Because they are two separate things. Manifesting, law of attraction, crystals, meditation, all of those are New Age practices. It's witchcraft and it's a cult. It's a form of idolatry. It's a form of worshiping other gods, lowercase g. We serve the Almighty God, which is uppercase G. Anything that you are serving or idolizing that is not Him is considered a god. And also knowing that manifesting is rooted and its origin is found in New Age spirituality as well. So the enemy is very deceptive and even tries to make things look good and make things appear as though they work, which they do. Satan performs signs, miracles, and wonders, but we know that they are false. Manifesting is pretty much just thinking of something, believing that it's going to happen, doing everything in your power to make sure that it happens, visualizing it, following certain steps to create this vision and this future and this destiny that you want. And whatever it is that you desire, you're doing everything in your power to be able to make those things happen. And it's not biblical. It's not biblical for you to manifest your husband. It's not biblical for you to manifest $1 million. So if you have engaged in those things, that is something that God wants you to repent of and to be able to turn back and to seek to Him. And I can even admit, a few years ago, I started saying manifesting. Why? Because it was something that I was hearing. It was something that was popular, that was going around, something on social media that everyone was talking about, which is still common right now. But what's important is that we are always going back to God and His word and seeing if those things are aligned with Him. A few years ago for my birthday, I went looking at houses that I couldn't afford, and the whole attracting abundance thing. Did I get a house that year? No. Did I get a house last year? Yes. Was it by my doing? Absolutely not. I didn't even think that I could get a house last year, but God says, let me show you what I can do. And let me show you that I don't really need your help. I don't need you to do anything. I just need you to be obedient, and I need you to hear from me. So just making sure that you are not mixing God, uppercase G, with God's lowercase g, not mixing things of God with things of the world, not just following trends just because everyone else is doing it, but truly taking it to God and asking, is this something that is of you, or is this something that is not of you? And remember that God doesn't share His glory. Many times we say that we're manifesting these things or these things have happened, and then they try to throw God on top of it when God wasn't in it. God isn't getting any glory on anything that you are doing apart from Him. So just being mindful that you are to go to the Bible for everything and making sure that it's aligned with His word, and also knowing that God is the one that's in control, that He is the one that is sovereign. I also mentioned for the third and fourth points about shaming, and it may not be something that you do. It may be something that you have done and just didn't recognize it, or even seeing other people that have been doing it, shaming other people for not having their goals written out already, shaming people for not knowing what this year is going to look like for them. And one, I want you to reflect on the fact that the God that we serve, that He isn't bound by time. He can give you a vision today and allow you to fill it before your own set deadline. So if you haven't gone before the Lord and we're already in 2021, it's okay. You can go to him today. You can go to him this week. He wants you to, because he wants you to be doing what he has called you to do. He wants you to fulfill the vision that he has for your life, but you have to go to him and seek him on what that looks like. And just know that it's not too late. You can start today. And even if you think you are behind or that you're starting late, just remember who God is. God is a restorer of all things. God can restore time. We know God is a miracle working God. We know God as a God of the impossible. So don't be discouraged, and don't let the opinions and the thoughts and the ideas that other people have keep you away from what God truly wants you to experience. We're almost there to Habakkuk. So now we're on the fifth point that I mentioned, and pretty much kind of goes into what I've just mentioned already. So many of you have not written any goals and plans. And like I said, it's absolutely fine making sure that you are truly seeking God for the vision that he has for you. And even some changes that he wants you to make this year. Talking to him, asking him for revelation and insight, and knowing and believing that he's going to give it to you. You can seek God today and he can give you an answer. But if he does not give you an answer today, that does not mean that you give up on seeking him. You seek him until he leads you and guides you onto where he wants you to be and what he wants you to be focusing on. And even ask him, be bold in your asking, be bold in your seeking, and be bold in your praying as well. What is God expecting from you this year? How does he want to use you this year? How does he want you to be a better person this year, a better family member, a better husband, a better wife, a better friend, a better servant? And that leads me into goals. So we talked about vision. God can give you a vision. So what I do is create a vision list of what God has showed me, but I also have focused goals as well. So these are things that I personally want to work on and some things that God wants me to work on as well. So as you do create your goals, make sure that you are really being intentional. So I divide mine up into categories, and I'll share a few with you. Yours don't have to be necessarily confined to these. But creating goals in your finances, in your family, within business, within leadership, within ministry, any personal goals that you may have, whether it be with friendships, whether it be self-care, whether it be travel. Travel may look a little bit different this year, but what it looks like for other people, it can look differently for you based on what God leads you to do, and even including spiritual goals as well. And as you write these goals, again, going to God and scripture, are these aligned with God's word? What are some verses that God can lead you to add to help you? So if you're focusing on finances, we know that God has not called us to be lenders, have not called us to be borrowers, but to be lenders. We know that God has called us to witness. He's called us to make disciples. We know that God desires for us to have multiple streams of income. Seven strings of income. I believe Ecclesiastes actually has 8 strings of income. So just really going to God's word. And the last one, many people start resolutions or desire new habits. And as I mentioned, lack commitment, resilience, and discipline. So really go into this year committed, not starting something that you are not going to stick to, not starting another resolution without a plan, not starting anything without the guidance and the leadings and the grace of God. Ask God for his help, ask him for direction. And now we are on the final one, which was many people during this time of the year quote Habakkuk 2:2, which is pretty much write the vision and make it plain. And it's kind of not anything wrong with it, but it kind of is something wrong with it sometimes. So Habakkuk 2:2, as well as Habakkuk 2:3 as well. So some people just quoting, write the vision and make it plain. But let's actually read what the Bible states. Verse 2 reads, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. it will not tarry. So what's key in verse 2? What comes before write the vision? Then the Lord answered me and said, so that's a given that Habakkuk has gone to God and asked him something in order for God to answer and give him a vision that he wanted him to write down. So have you gone to God and asked him, and has he revealed the vision that you are writing? So I think that is very important, and that is something that is missed by many when quoting this verse. So we know that Habakkuk has gone to God and asked him of something. And we know in verse 3, it says, it may take some time for the vision to come to pass. So what God wants you to do is to be patient, to trust his timing, to not be discouraged. God may give you a vision, but it's for an appointed time. And God knows that appointed time. And not always is he going to tell you it's going to happen this month or it's going to happen in 3 months. But if he's giving you the vision, then you can trust the fact that it's going to come to pass. So continue being obedient in your part and doing what you need to be doing so that God can do his part and whatever he has for you can come to pass. So a lot of times those are the only two verses that some people may know in Habakkuk. And for me, I was the same way. But guess what? God led me to study the book of Habakkuk. So briefly, just to give you guys some context, and I also want you all to read and study Habakkuk. It's literally 3 chapters, and it is an amazing book of the Bible, and it will give you revelation that you would have never thought was even in here. So first of all, what is the book of Habakkuk about? It's a time of injustice and idolatry. Habakkuk is struggling to believe that God is good when all Habakkuk can see around him is evil and wickedness, and he feels that it has gone unnoticed and that it has gone unpunished. Habakkuk has asked God to do something, and he's literally going back and forth in these 3 verses with God, stating there's a lot of corruption, there's a lot of violence, there's a lot of oppression going on. Like, God, why haven't you fixed this? Can you fix this? When are you going to fix this? And he doesn't feel like God is doing anything at the moment. So what God tells him is that even though you see evil around you, that evil is happening, and you may think that it's gone unnoticed or that I haven't done anything or won't do anything, I actually will. God can even use evil for good. So Habakkuk asks for an answer on how God is going to use evil for good. And even noting that the vision that God has given him obviously is for an appointed time. So God is going to use the Babylonians to correct and punish and bring judgment to those in Judah. So going back a little bit, so who is Habakkuk? Habakkuk is a prophet who lived in Judah. He was a prophet who sought God for answers. Habakkuk asked difficult questions. Don't miss any of this. Habakkuk was bold, he was confident, he was concerned, and he took his complaints directly to God. He took his questions directly to God. And when God answered, Habakkuk's response was always a prayer of faith. So what's the purpose of this book? It proves that no matter what is going on around you, no matter what evil is present around you, no matter even what you're going through, God is still in control, that God is sovereign. And also noting that you may think that somebody is doing something illegal, but they have a lot of money, they're buying all these things that they want. Meanwhile, I'm being faithful to God and I'm not seeing any reward, whatever the case may be. The Bible tells us that the righteous lives by faith. And God promises that he will deal even with the unrighteous. So chapter 1 pretty much is filled with Habakkuk's complaints or the problems that he has, and he is bringing them to God. And he doesn't feel like God is listening. He doesn't feel like God is answering. So I'm actually going to read the first 4 verses of Habakkuk. And I'm actually reading from the New Living Translation. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Violence is everywhere I cry, but you do not come to save. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Why must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I am surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. The law has become paralyzed and there is no justice in the courts. The wicked far outnumber the righteous, so that justice has become perverted. Then God gives a response. God replies, look around at the nations, look and be amazed, for I am doing something in your own day, something you wouldn't believe, even if someone told you about it. You wouldn't even understand or comprehend it, right? So God's doing something, even though Habakkuk can't see it, God's still working. And if God told you something about why you're experiencing what you're experiencing, or whatever the case may be, you may not believe it either, but you can know that God is doing something. So what's going on here that Habakkuk wants God to even do anything? So pretty much God is going to raise up the Babylonians, and they are going to judge those in Judah who is full of corruption and idolatry and all of these evil and wicked things. And God tells him an answer to what his complaint or his question or his problem was. And guess what Habakkuk does? Habakkuk comes back and has another question. And Habakkuk's trying to figure out, well, the Babylonians are wicked. How are they going to correct and punish us in Judah? And God says that he can use anyone. He can use anyone, even if they're evil, to lead others back to him. And we get back to, or go to verse 2, and verse 2 pretty much is God answering Habakkuk's questions. He's answered the first question, and now he's coming back answering the second question. So within chapter 2, there are 5 woes that God has highlighted, and he's pretty much showing how he's going to deal with those who are full of pride. Those who are thieves, those who are greedy, who are money hungry, who are getting their neighbors drunk, those who speak to idols, those who idolizing things that are not of God. But God says, in the midst of all these things that these prideful people are doing, God promises that what they are doing is going to come back to them. His appointed time. It may not be judgment right away, but they are going to have to answer and experience God's wrath based on the things that they are doing. And chapter 3 is Habakkuk's prayer. So Habakkuk is asking God to act now, and Habakkuk is praising God for even God answering his prayers. Even in this, Habakkuk has learned that God is the one who's in control, that he is the one who can do the impossible, and that he is the one that can even use bad for good. And he can use anyone to fulfill his purposes. God works in his ways and he works in his timing. What Habakkuk had to do was accept God's will. And many times we have to accept God's will and not our own will. Habakkuk trusted God, he asked God for help, and he learned that no matter what is happening, no matter what is going on around him, he can trust God, knowing that God has everything in his hands. What did Habakkuk not do? Habakkuk didn't need to manifest anything in order for judgment and correction to come to Judah. He went directly to the Lord. So I just did a very high level overview of what the book of Habakkuk is about. But I want you guys to read these 3 chapters and to allow God to give you some insight and revelation on what his word means and how you can not only apply this to your own personal life, but how even this applies in the world in the day and age that we are living in right now. And most importantly, as you are working towards achieving some goals and plans and just having a better year this year, really, really making sure that you are going to God in prayer, that you are seeking him, and that you are being obedient to whatever it is that he reveals to you and in whatever way he chooses to. So that is our time of devotion for today. I want to end always in prayer. So just asking for you all to assume a posture of prayer, to join me in prayer, to not just listen to me pray, but to pray along with me. So we will go ahead and go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, oh God. We thank you for bringing us into a new year. We thank you, Father, for sustaining us and keeping us and even keeping our minds stayed on you, oh God. We thank you, Father, that you have not only allowed us to be able to see a new year, but that you brought us through into a new year as well, oh God. We thank you that even last year may have been filled with challenges. It may have been filled with difficulties and uncertainty and chaos and lockdowns and quarantine and loss and pain. But we also thank you, Father, for your blessings that you allow us to be able to experience, oh God. We thank you, Father, for your grace, Lord, that you allow us to be able to experience and to walk in. We thank you, Father, for your love. We thank you for extending your love to us each and every day, oh God. We thank you, Father, for your protection, oh God. We thank you, Father, that even in 2020, oh God, that you allowed many of us to be able to seek you more in 1 year than we ever have in our journey with you, oh God. So we thank you for that, oh God. We thank you, Lord, that even in the midst of a pandemic, that you still have a purpose and a plan for this nation, oh God, that you still have a purpose and a plan for our lives and our families as well, oh God. We thank you, Father, for keeping us. We thank you, Father, for keeping us in our right minds, oh God. We thank you, Father, that you are even our mind regulator, oh God. We thank you for sustaining us and strengthening us, oh God. We thank you, Father, for strengthening us mentally and even physically, oh God. We thank you that through everything that we have gone through and even the things that we will face, both good and bad in 2021, oh God, we thank you, Father, that we have you walking alongside with us, oh God, that we are not in this world alone, that we are not in this journey alone, that we have you, oh God, that we have your support, that we have your love, that we have your comfort, that we have your guidance, oh God, that we have your direction, Father. So we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that you are sovereign, oh God. We thank you, Father, that you are El Elyon, oh God, the Most High God, the one who is above all things, the one who has everything and every person in his hands, oh God. So we thank you, Father, that you are in control, even when we can't see it. We thank you, Father, that you are Jehovah Nissi, oh God. We thank you, Father, that you are our banner, oh God. We thank you, Father, that you are our banner of encouragement, oh God, that you are our banner of hope, that you are our banner of protection, Father. We thank you, Father, that you have already defeated everything and person and enemy and evil spirit, oh God, that may try to rise up against us, oh God. We thank you, Father, for being our shield. We thank you for being our guide, oh God. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that has renewed us, that has revived us, oh God, that has rejuvenated our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, oh God. We thank you for rest, Lord. We thank you for reset. And we thank you even for the revival that you've allowed us to experience spiritually, as well as in this world, oh God. And we thank you, Father, that you're still doing a new thing, that even more revivals are happening, oh God, that it is constant, that it is consistent, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that you have a vision for us, oh God, that you have a plan for us, oh God, that you have a purpose for us, Father. Your word states that you have plans for us to prosper. You don't have plans to harm us, oh God, that you have plans to give us a hope and a future, oh God. So we rest on that right now, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask, Lord, that you will help us, that you will help us to assume a posture, Father, a posture of submission, oh God, a posture of surrender, oh God, where we are seeking you on what you would have us to do for this year, oh God, seeking you on what you want us to do, how you want to use us, oh God, how you want to change and transform us, oh God, how you want to use us for the advancement of your kingdom, oh God, how you want to use us in the lives of others, oh God, how you want to use us even in this world, oh God. Open our eyes so that we are able to see, oh God. Open our eyes so that open our ears, oh God, so that we're able to hear from you clearly, oh God. Help us not to miss anything that you are trying to reveal to us, Father. We thank you, Father, that even just as your word states that We can make our plans, we can set our goals, but you are the one who orders our steps. You are the one who determines our steps. You are the one who directs our steps, oh God. So I ask right now, Father, that you will continue to do that. And as you order our steps, Father, allow us to walk in the path that you have destined for us, oh God. Allow us to put our will aside and to walk in the will that you have for us, even when it may seem difficult, oh God, even when it may seem challenging, oh God, even when we may not know what the end result is going to be, oh God. Help us to rely on you and to trust in you, knowing that if you have led us to a thing, that it is for a reason, it's for a purpose, and that you're going to get the glory in it, oh God. I ask right now, Father, that you will forgive us, Lord, for any time where we may have put other things before you, oh God, where we have made plans and put them above the plans that you have for us, oh God. I ask, Father, that you will forgive us of not seeking you or including you in our plans. Father, your word states that we are to seek you first, your kingdom and righteousness, so that all things may be added unto us, oh God. And we want everything added unto us, oh God, that you have due for us, Father. So let us be obedient, oh God. Let us surrender. Let us submit to you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh God. We repent, Father, for trying to manifest what we want to experience in our lives, the things that we want to see, the things that we feel that we need, oh God. May we focus only on your will and not ours, oh God. Help us to be anchored, Father, and grounded in your word, Father. Help us to be grounded and rooted in your word and in your presence, oh God, so that our thoughts, the things that we want and desire, our goals and plans and visions, oh God, that they are aligned with yours, Father. So I pray right now, Father, for alignment. I pray, Father, for realignment to begin to happen on today, to happen in all areas of our lives, oh God. Steer us back to your will, Father. Give us the boldness and the confidence and courage that we need to make you proud, to please you and to please you alone, oh God. Help us to trust you, Father. Help us to lean not on our own understanding, oh God, but help us to acknowledge you. Help us to submit to you, oh God, and help us to know that in doing that, that you will make our path straight and lead us on the path that you have already set for us, oh God. I pray, Father, that you will give us the mindset that if it is not your will, that we don't want it, we don't want to walk in it, we don't want to think about it, we don't want to write it down. We don't want to pray and wish it can happen. If it's not your will, it's not your will. And let us seek you for what your will is, oh God. I ask, Father, that you will close every demonic door that we have opened, whether we knew about it or we didn't know about it, oh God. I pray, Father, that you will give us a mind of Christ, oh God, that you will lead us not to be deceived by the attacks and the strategies and the attempts, oh God, of the enemy, Father. We know that everything that looks good is not good. Everything that appears to be happening or working for other people or in their lives, or even the things that we may have tried to do, oh God, it does not always come from you, Lord. So I pray, Father, that we are always led by your spirit, oh God. And I pray, Father, that you will heighten our spiritual discernment so that we are not led astray. Father, we lift up this world. We lift up this nation, oh God. We continue to seek you and rely on you as the healer that you are Jehovah Rapha, oh God. Father, you know that many people are still being impacted by COVID, Lord, that many people are still being infected by this virus, oh God. So I just ask, Lord, for healing to take place in their bodies, oh God, for healing to take place in their minds, oh God, for healing to take place even in their family and their loved ones' lives, in their minds, oh God, who are worrying about them, who are stressing over whether they are going to live or not, oh God. So we come before you, Lord, asking that you will show up as the healer that you are. I pray right now, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, for supernatural healing to spread through this earth, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, to spread through every hospital, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, to spread through every household, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh God. Those who are battling with this virus, oh God, I ask, Lord, that you will take this virus away from them, oh God. that you will remove it from their bodies, oh God, that you will heal them from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet, oh God, that you will be with every doctor and nurse and physician and medical staff that is attending to those who are in the hospital, oh God. Allow your supernatural power, oh God, to be with them, Father. Allow healing hands to be placed on them, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Healing hands that come by the way of your Holy Spirit and nothing else, oh God. I pray, Father, for those who are on ventilators, oh God, for those who are struggling to breathe, oh God, for those who are struggling with respiratory issues, oh God. I pray, Father, that you will breathe life into their lungs, oh God, that you will breathe life into their bodies, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that it doesn't matter what the doctors have stated, oh God. We declare right now, Father, that they shall live and they shall not die, oh God, that you still have a plan, that you still have a purpose and a hope for them, oh God. So I pray, Lord, for healing right now in the name of Jesus Christ, oh God. Whatever attacks or plans that the enemy may have, I ask, Lord, that you will abort and abolish them right now, Father. I pray, Lord, that you will give them an amazing and a miraculous testimony of what you have allowed them to be able to go through, how you drew them closer to you, how they were able to have their eyes open by what you allowed them to go through, Father. So we thank you for healing. We thank you for miracles, oh God. We thank you, Father, that miracles, signs, and wonders are happening right now in the homes of those who are battling COVID, in hospitals right now, oh God, in emergency rooms right now, oh God, in ICU right now, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for this nation. We ask, Lord, that you will soften the hearts of every person in existence right now, oh God, believers and non-believers, oh God. I ask, Lord, that you will draw us all to you, that you will allow us all to be able to have a miraculous encounter, oh God. I pray, Father, that you will bind up every spirit of division in the name of Jesus Christ, every spirit of perversion, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Every evil and wicked spirit that is not like you, Father. And I ask, Lord, that you will release peace on this earth, that you will release peace in this world, oh God, that you will release love and grace and mercy, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you will release a revival, oh God, that you will release a transformation to happen, oh God, that we all may be able to experience it. And we thank you, Father, for the progress that we have been able to see even since last year, oh God. And we're standing confident, Lord, knowing that you can do more, that you can heal, that you can deliver, that you can set free, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. We thank you, Father, for exposure. We ask, Lord, that you will continue to expose everything that is not like you, oh God. And as you expose, Father, I ask that you will bring people closer to you, oh God. Don't let them stand out in this world alone, oh God. Allow them to know you, to experience you, to accept your son as their savior, oh God, knowing that Jesus Christ is the only one who can save this nation, is the only one that can save your people, oh God. So I ask, Father, that you will be with all leaders, that you will be with all politicians, oh God, that you will raise them up to be godly leaders, oh God, that you will give them new visions, that you will give them new perspectives, oh God. We thank you for the change that is happening in their minds right now, oh God. Shift their focus, oh God. Shift their attention to be toward you and what you would have them to do for this world. We know, Lord, that you have appointed them for such a time as this, oh God. And we stand confident knowing that the purpose that you have for whatever office that you have given them, whatever authority that you have given them, oh God, we know that it has come from you, oh God. And we just pray, Father, for your will to be done, oh God. We thank you once again for this day, Lord. We thank you for how you have blessed us and kept us, Lord. We ask that you will continue to be with us during this week. Allow us to be able to seek you daily. Give us a fresh fire, oh God. Give us a fresh anointing, oh God. Keep us covered and protected by your blood, oh God. Allow your angels to encamp all around us, oh God, to cover us and keep us, Father. I pray that you will keep us from all hurt, harm, and danger, that you will keep COVID out of our homes, that you will keep it out of our bodies, oh God, that you will remove every spirit of fear, every spirit of doubt and worry, anxiety, oh God, frustration, oh God, and allow us to be able to experience your peace, oh God. A peace that surpasses all human understanding. So we thank you, we praise you, we give your name all the glory and all of the honor. It is in your Son Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you all so much for tuning in for our time of devotion and prayer. Thanks for sticking with me. I know today was a bit longer than usual, but it is okay. We go as long as God needs us to go and speak what God needs us to speak. So thank you again. I pray that you have a blessed day. As always, if you guys have any prayer requests or even praise reports or any questions, you can always place them in the comments. You can message or DM me. You can also email me at hello@aspiritualwarrior.com. So I love you all and I'll see you next week. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. Make sure that you check out the show notes and I'll chat with you next time. Be blessed.